All right, let's do this. We're going live in 5, 4, 3.
Oh my, just so many business podcasts out there. How can I possibly know where to begin? Here at Intrepid Business, we are about stripping away all of the usual boring fluff and instead focus on showcasing real people doing real business, achieving amazing things. The ones truly changing the world, the instigators making a dent, the people changing how we do sales and marketing, leading innovation, the people redefining leadership. But who are these people? Why do they do what they do? How do they do what they do? Find out on Intrepid Business. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to Intrepid Business. I am your host, Todd Schnick. This promises to be an interesting conversation. The kind of work that this company or an organization does is not something we've talked about a lot on this show. So I'm looking forward to diving in and learning a little bit here, but promises also to be a very important global conversation around the idea of technology and small business, which is valuable to virtually everyone listening to this show. So we're going to learn a lot here. Let's get to it. I'm joined now by Chris Sullins. He is the CEO of Workwave. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure, Chris. Thanks for making time to join us. I know you are a busy fellow running and making Workwave do some amazing things, so I do appreciate your time. Before we get into our conversation, Chris, do take a few quick seconds. Tell us a bit about you and your background, and then give us that 10,000-foot view of Workwave. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Sure. So I joined Workwave in early 2008. And actually came from the other side of the table. So I've done a number of different things, engineering background and finance background. But most recently, to joining Workwave, I worked ServiceMaster, which has a number of leading brands in home services, pest control, lawn care, cleaning, through brands like Merry Maids, Terminix, True Green, things that a lot of the listeners probably have heard of. And so I was in the marketing and sales area as an executive there. And that was one of the things that actually got me excited and interested about Workwave and felt like it was a set of experiences that could help us drive our roadmap and really help us do a lot of the things that we're doing today. So from a Workwave perspective, we provide cloud-based technologies that enable clients in field service and last-mile logistics to provide what we call an on-demand experience for their clients. And so again, if you think back to the ServiceMaster days, the big kind of three things that a lot of our clients are trying to, pain points, if you will, that clients are trying to solve, revolve around getting a better understanding of how their marketing and sales activities are driving kind of new business, what's working and what isn't, improving kind of efficiencies inside the office, so across customer service and accounting and payments and things like that, and then getting better visibility into their field operations through kind of understanding what their technicians or drivers are doing out in the field each day. And so we built our platform to really solve kind of for these three big key pain points and connected it, each of those aspects together, kind of across the platform so that for small, medium-sized businesses as well as large and enterprise businesses, they have a single view into kind of how their business is doing, and each of these areas is kind of connected. And by doing that, that's what really allows them to create that, what we call the on-demand experience, and to be able to improve kind of their business performance.
What is the value of the on-demand experience? I mean, tell me, help us understand why that's relevant to the modern business organization.
So I think it's a great question. I think, you know, as technology, especially mobile technology, has evolved and has been kind of consumerized, if you will, consumers' expectations for service providers has continued to increase. And so, you know, we think of the ultimate on-demand provider, you know, is Uber these days. And when you think about what they've done with their simple app is they've connected the front end of their business with the back end of their business. So the shopping for a ride is kind of interlaced with all the fulfillment kind of activities because they've connected both sides of the business. So when I want to call a car, I know which type of car that I can expect to be able to call, you know, how long it's going to take to get to me. When I call the car, I'm going to know who it is. I'm going to know what their ratings are, what the license plate number is. And I can even put in my destination and know how much it's going to cost me to take the ride. So you compare that to kind of the traditional kind of taxi experience where you're standing on the corner waving your arm and have no idea who's going to come down the road and, you know, what kind of car or, you know, how long it's going to take. It changes kind of the dynamics in terms of the customer experience. And I think when you look at especially field service in particular, consumers want a similar type of experience. And the only way to do that is by kind of connecting, again, this front end, the shopping of a pest control service or heating, air, and plumbing with the fulfillment kind of side of it. And so when customers are shopping for a service, they know kind of what are the schedule availability, what is the pricing, what are your ratings and reviews, and what do other people think about you. All these things now can factor into their decision-making process, which is a very big departure from what it has been historically when I pick up the Yellow Pages and look at whose ad is in the front, you know, section, or even, you know, today on search. It's you search for somebody and you end up looking at who comes up on the first page of results. And then, you know, there's a lot more work a customer needs to do to try to find kind of a valuable resource in this area that we think you can do better if you kind of connect these aspects.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking about an organization that maintained a fleet of trucks, say, And I was trying to recall, how did these guys actually do this 25 years ago? I mean, it was funny to me just to reflect on it and say what a different world it was. Now, obviously, they succeeded and thrived and grew, and you know, the product was delivered for a long, long time without mobile, without social, without all all this technology. It's so funny to see how different it is. It's really exciting to talk about where it could go from here. And maybe we'll dive into that later in the episode. Let me ask you this question. I think this is a key point. It's no doubt that this technology can make an organization who's dealing with field service or fleet management more productive. It can make them more efficient. But I think the key, and you've said it a couple times, is you can also see ratings and reviews. What this is, yeah, it makes you more productive, more efficient, maybe operate leaner and more cost effectively as well. But it also enables you to really serve your customer a lot better, not just as a result of all those improved efficiencies, but an awareness of your customer and what they think and what they're doing. I mean, that's in my view, that's the real key here, right?
Absolutely. We actually bought a company that had a reviews platform last year and have integrated it into kind of our ecosystem, our product set. And the important element, so when we bought it, it was a really efficient way, a nice way to generate testimonials that you could use, you know, to put on your website or put on our microsite or, you know, put on Facebook or another third-party site. That certainly helps with the shopping experience because, you know, Amazon's kind of taught everybody, like, you don't buy a product without, you know, a review, even if you have no idea who the people are. It's just, it gives you some comfort that other people have had a good experience. And so that's one key aspect of it. The thing that we did that took it to the next level and ties into exactly what you were talking about is we embedded it into our field service management product so that after each service event, we send out an email to the client automatically through our engine that asks them how that service was. And it's a real simple survey. We gather net promoter score, some other elements that allow our clients to kind of get insight into their service performance across their company. And then we pull that back in and we produce scorecards that allow them to look at service performance by technician and kind of stack rank each of the technicians or the drivers in terms of how the customers viewed their performance. You can look at it across different products, across different branches. So there's a lot of ways to kind of slice and dice it to really understand, is the organization executing on kind of the service experience that you want as the owner or the manager? And that is where I think the power of kind of data and reviews in particular come in handy, is it's great to get that on the front end and help it with the marketing piece, but it's really kind of now getting the customer to give you that feedback, that detailed feedback that allows you to improve the service experience, which is going to lead to better testimonials and, you know, lead to stickier customers and lead to better business performance. So that is kind of the really neat thing about a lot of this technology is it's not so much, I mean, it certainly helps on the efficiency side, but improving kind of that customer experience, I think, is really where, you know, the big value comes in.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, Chris Sullins and I will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
In today's workplace, business leaders face significant pressure to recruit and retain the best employees, to effectively build a team, to create a culture that is healthy, productive, and dynamic, and to empower their staff in managing stress and finding balance. And behind all those pressures is one goal: to strengthen and grow the business. And too many organizations struggle with this. Unlimited Coaching Solutions provides customized strategies and training to help reach your goals and take your teams to the next level. Call them today at 585-248-9322. Or find them online at unlimitedcoaching.com.
All right, I am back with Chris Sullins, CEO of WorkWave. So, Chris, when I understand WorkWave and its cloud-based field service and fleet management solutions, and all, I think, all right, well, is that for UPS? Is that for Uber? Is that for these big billion-dollar concerns? I think I'm wrong to assume that, right? I think this. I think small businesses with utilizing this data and this technology, they can operate like an enterprise-level organization too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The way we've built kind of our platform and our technology is the way I like to think about it is enterprise level technology that's accessible to the small and medium sized business, which is really the kind of core market that we go after. And the interesting thing is that, you know, it's the small and medium sized businesses that make up most of the volume of companies in each of these different markets. And, you know, I always say everybody likes to root for the small guy, except when it hits them either in their wallet or the overall experience at the end of the day. So, you know, if the large enterprise can provide a much better experience for a similar kind of cost, or, you know, that's going to win out at the end of the day. So we view our role as trying to level the playing field. And the key to doing that is this cloud-based technology. So it makes it much more accessible from a price point flexibility standpoint for these small businesses that really didn't have access to kind of these tools that the big guys have had access to for a long time. And, you know, what it allows them to do is provide that same level of solution, but to do it in a way that isn't cost prohibitive and doesn't require them to have an entire staff full of people to implement the solution and manage the solution, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I worry that a small organization says, okay, well, it makes sense for a large company like FedEx or UPS, who's maintaining large fleets, to have all this fancy schmancy cloud-based technology. But I'm a small entity. I'm in theory supposed to be more agile and all that. But I think there's a bigger issue that just because you're small doesn't mean you shouldn't be focusing on streamlining your processes. And I think the other issue is that these small organizations who are themselves collecting data aren't doing much with it to learn much from it and then to make a real application and how that can improve their business, right? I mean, so small businesses here, even though you're a small organization, you still very much have to focus on streamlining those processes and crunching data to improve your customer service levels, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about the staffing levels at a small business versus large business and how those are allocated, you know, you could make the argument that it's even more important for the smaller, medium-sized businesses to invest in the technology than it is even for the big guys. So think about things like HR and kind of, you know, hiring people. So we have one of our solutions, route optimization solution. You know, we have case study after case study of both large and small companies creating, you know, 20 or 30% more capacity for the same set of resources. So you think about the value of that to a small business where I now can grow my business 10, 20, 30% without having to add a truck or a technician or, you know, another service driver. You know, that's powerful because I don't have a staff of people just sitting around looking for things to do. And to the same degree, having data, not just gathering it, but having it available where I can make smarter decisions kind of at my fingertips, again, is really powerful. And so we've looked at really investing in tools that allow access to the data and in a way that's simple so that they don't need a staff of analysts or somebody that takes the data and puts it in a spreadsheet and does a bunch of extra work with the spreadsheet. And so those service kind of quality scorecards that I mentioned before are, you know, one example of where that can be valuable. We have a route comparison report, for example, where it's really easy to just look at, here's my optimized route that my tech was supposed to run or my driver. And based on GPS data or their mobile kind of handheld data, I can see exactly what route they did run. So I start to quickly see, are they running the routes they're supposed to? Am I getting the savings that I would expect? You know, just those kind of things just make it so much easier given the limited kind of extra staff that they have.
I also worry that a small organization says, because they've read a lot of books and they've listened to a lot of leaders like you say, well, you got to manage and collect data and do actionable things with it. But they don't know where to start that process. They don't know what data to collect. Like we've been saying, it's easy to collect data these days. It's really a lot harder to do something actionable with it. So any counsel to a small business person listening to this and beginning the process of understanding what data they ought to be collecting and looking for?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, it's hard. I think it does vary based on kind of the industry and the vertical, if you will, that they're in. A lot of the tools, I think, you know, as they evaluate, I guess what I would say is as they evaluate tools, looking at that aspect of it, as opposed to just saying, okay, well, they have a lot of reports. Like, what standardized reports, for example, do they have? And taking a look at what data do I get from that? And is that something that, you know, is going to help me run my business better? Having key performance indicators, so KPIs that are accessible kind of within the application, which is something that we are focusing more and more on, also becomes really valuable. So for example, you know, our customers run routes, whether it's doing deliveries or doing services, having simple metrics on each route to show how productive that route is. So, and be able to quickly say, oh, this, you know, I have a route here that's only half full. It gives them the opportunity to kind of focus on these problem areas and to address them. And so I think that's kind of the big piece of it. The other piece of it is just looking at providers that have experience in the verticals that they're in. Certainly you can learn a lot through the training and just the experiences of a provider like us who spans a lot of verticals and has, you know, experience working with customers to help them figure this out.
Yeah, well, that's exactly why you hire and engage a WorkWave. I think a final thing that we'll talk about before we run out of time that I think freaks a lot of business people out about investing in technology is a fear that, well, if I finally bite the bullet and I invest in a software package or even hardware, I'm worried that within 3 months it's going to be out of date and there's going to be something better, faster, stronger. Two-part question. How should a small business person listening to this think about that and understand? That's just the reality of the modern business world, is that technology continues to advance. So how do they keep ahead of that? And frankly, I'll ask you, how does WorkWave keep ahead of that to keep your technology relevant and continuing to grow?
Yeah, no, those are two really good questions, I think. So on the first, as a buyer of technology, I think that's a big evaluation point, is there's a lot We see this happen, especially in a lot of our verticals, where a small provider will come on the scene and have a really good looking user interface and product, and you know, it's light on functionality, but it does turn ahead in terms of the way it looks and whatnot. And then 2-3 years or whatever down the road, they're not around anymore, and somebody needs to, you know, now the person needs to find a new provider. So it's expensive to be able to build software and to continue to invest in it. So the initial product actually isn't that hard, but it's the ongoing, the support, the ongoing development, the ongoing tweaking of the product to continue to take advantage of new technologies and to respond to changes in kind of the industry and what customers and clients need. That really is where the rubber meets the road on the investment. So as a buyer, you want to look at companies that have a long history, if you can, and have a history of continuing to roll out updates and releases, and you can kind of see through the product that they're taking advantage of the new technologies and being able to kind of stay with, if not ahead of the market. You know, from our standpoint, you know, it is a heavy focus on investment in what we call the product area. So for us, that's customer service, it's product management, and it's product development. And so that's where over 60% of our employees are focused in this area. And really, it's kind of a refined process where we spend a lot of time with clients, kind of understanding their needs, developing requirements that we then feed into the development cycle, and then, you know, turn that into product that we release on a regular basis. So it's just a continuous kind of investment and a continuous focus, I think, on specific parts of the market, as opposed to trying to be too many things to too many people.
Well, said another way, it's a never-ending process, right? I mean, you will never take That's your true. Eye off that feature ball. Okay.
No.
Good stuff. Well, Chris, this has been a great conversation. Sorry to have run out of time. Before I let you go, how can people contact you should they have questions, and where can they learn more about WorkWave?
They can come to our website, and it is www.workwave.com.
All right. Chris Sullins, the CEO of WorkWave. Chris, great to have you. Thanks again for stopping by and joining me.
Great. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
I did as well. All right, guys, that's all the time we have for today. Again, on behalf of my guest, Chris Sullins, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Business.